scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it looks corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Yell. Aguila, rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, what's going on? Happy Monday. It is Monday, December 2nd. Welcome to the final month of 2024, and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. What's up, Wes?
How are you, buddy?
Doing all right. I got to admit, and you are fresh back from Columbus, where you saw the Flames take on the Blue Jackets on that emotional afternoon on Friday, and now the Blue Jackets are here, and I got to admit, I knew this was going to be, I think we all knew this was going to be an emotional few days, and was going to hit really hard, but I honestly, and I was even prepared for it, or so I thought, but
yeah,
you
got a little lump today.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. I was ready for it, or I thought I was. I came in thinking to myself, "Hey, this is going to be a heavy couple of days. Going to be a heavy Monday," and it was. It hit heavier than I thought it was going to, and no stealing myself for it. I don't. The Guy Gaudreau on the ice at practice on Monday.
Yeah,
both you and I knew it was coming, and still hit like a ton of bricks. And I won't lie, sitting front row, doesn't matter where I was sitting, I just happened to be sitting front row for Sean Monahan. I couldn't look the dude in the eye for a good 5 minutes, and then I had about 90 seconds, and I had to look away again when he started talking about Johnny's kids. I knew it was going to be a heavy, somber day,
yeah.
but I think it hit way harder than I was expecting. Obviously we're talking about Columbus being in Calgary for the first time since Johnny's passing in late August. Johnny and Matt, of course, passing in very late August, and you know, the hockey world has, it's been there the entire time. And whenever you see a Blue Jackets highlight, you see the 13 on the jersey or the helmet and still doesn't feel real. It maybe felt a little more real at practice on Monday morning, and especially seeing some of the faces that you saw and seeing what those faces looked like. Wes, we're only 3 months removed from it, right? Like it's not like this happened a year ago. This is still really, really fresh, especially for the people most affected by it. And I think maybe that's what struck me the most is how fresh it clearly is for the people most affected by it.
Yeah. And I even know just from being in Columbus last week, you know, you talk to people, whether they're in the organization or you know, fans, and, you know, it still hits you. As you said, three months is not a massive passage of time. And, you know, I think it hits people at times that they maybe weren't expecting it to. I chatted with a fan on the concourse at Nationwide Arena in Columbus, and he, you know, arrived in time for warmups and thought he'd swing by the memorial on the concourse, and you know, he was really fighting back tears, and I shouldn't say fighting them back. He was in tears, and he said to me, I did not expect this. You know, I came to pay my respects at this game and to pay my respects at the memorial, but I didn't expect to break down like this. And I think tomorrow night, as the Columbus Blue Jackets visit, and really more to the point, as the Gaudreau family visits, and we see Guy and Jane and Kristen and Katie and Meredith at center ice for a ceremonial face-off, as we hear what I think is going to be sort of a spine-tingling applause for the family, a real show of love and support, you're going to walk around the Saddle Dome and just see people in tears. Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of those nights that weighs heavily on people, that hits people maybe a little differently than they anticipated. And really, buddy, and I'm sure you feel the same way, today was just sort of a taste of that, yeah. Was it not?
Yeah, I agree. And honestly, like Friday afternoon following the loss in Columbus, and Hearing Rasmus Anderson say that was the most difficult game, mentally the most difficult game he's ever played. And even hearing him speak after practice on Monday in the locker room, and you know, it was heavy. And I think that, this hour we'll spend a lot of time talking about Sean Monahan and Johnny Gaudreau the Gaudreau family, which is all here now. I just saw Sean Kelso, one of the Flames outstanding PR staff members, on his Instagram, just posted a picture of the entire Gaudreau family with Jane and Guy, the sisters, the grandkids, Meredith, so on and so forth. And you're just like, it's like, geez.
Yeah.
They were all at...
This part's cool.
Yeah, they were all at Flames Community Arena a little earlier on Monday. So one of the things that the Flames did when they had to kind of dismantle the memorial that had organically popped up in the days following Johnny's passing, you know, there was all the Gatorade bottles and the chalk and the hockey sticks and the hats and the jerseys and flowers and so on and so forth. It was just one of the more one of the most heartening things you can remember seeing, is just an organic show of support and love. And so they had to dismantle it. And one of the things they did was take a lot of those sticks and turn it into a bench or benches. And so the entire Gaudreau family were down on Crowchild in the Southwest at the Flames Community Arenas, and they dedicated one of those benches. And I thought that was a real cool touch. And that's where the photo came from. So just to see the whole family and see him here was pretty neat to see. And I got to say, like, seeing Guy on the ice this morning in Flames gear, you're just like, it just kind of felt right. Even though the reason why it's happening is so terrible, it just was like, it felt right seeing him on the ice in Flames gear.
I know we'll hear from some of the players in a second, and I thought the way Rasmus Anderson put it was, you know, blunt and really appropriate. He said, listen, the circumstances suck.
Yep.
But we're really happy to see Guy here on the ice. You know, I wrote today over at the Post Media sites about what I thought was a really cool moment. So Guy Gaudreau comes onto the ice for practice, and a bunch of us, you know, lots of times you're kind of sitting by yourself at the start of practice, and the rest of us stragglers eventually join you. But there's a few of us, you know, sitting there waiting, knowing that Guy would be taking the ice. And, you know, he'd taken like three or four strides, and he's already given Dustin Wolf a hug. And I'm watching this play out, and then it's a really short hug. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of weird. And Guy is physically spinning him around so he can see the back of Wolf's goalie mask, where he has that really heartwarming tribute to Johnny. And I said to Dustin after, I chatted with him quickly, and I said, you know, just tell me about that moment. And he said, yeah, you know, I really wanted to hug him and show him we're there for him. And the first thing he said is, I want a photo with your mask. I got to get a photo with this. And so, you know, I don't know if escape is the right word. Obviously, you know, this trip, I can't even imagine sort of the emotions that it's going to bring back for the Gaudreau family, both the memories and then obviously the fresh emotions of losing both of their sons over the summer in that unthinkable tragedy. But, you know, to see the smiles from Guy today at moments, to see him, you know, enjoying being out there and, you know, hooking the guys on the drills, and it meant a lot. I know it meant something to me. I think that's why this has been the hottest ticket in town tomorrow night, right? People want to be there to see the family, to show their support for the family. And I think it's going to be a pretty special night.
Let's hear from some of those who spoke on Monday morning. And I think the guy that was that is most appropriate to hear from first is Sean Monahan. He came into the Ed Whalen Media Lounge, and I know that you and Eric had an opportunity to chat with Sean last week in Columbus prior to that game on Friday afternoon. Now Sean back in Calgary. He had a moment with Boone Jenner and Erik Gudbranson, who were both injured, but who flew with the team so they could be here for Tuesday's game. So it was a cool moment with Guy talking with Sean and Boone Jenner. They, of course, were not in gear, and Guy was on the ice in Flames gear, and so they had a cool moment at the Blue Jackets bench as skate was going on. Let's hear a little bit from Sean Monahan as, he's still only 3 months for him, and as he told you last week, thinks about it every day, still doesn't feel real, obviously not over it, as he continues to move through what has been a really hard last few months. Here's Sean Monahan from earlier on Monday.
One step at a time, I guess. It's tough. I mean, being here, obviously, it's hard. It's hard, but, playing hockey and, I guess, being on the team he's supposed to be on and being able to be around his kids, his wife. You feel his presence every day, and I think having that is something that helps me get by.
You and Johnny were a part of so many memorable moments inside of this building. Are there one or two that really stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. That hug after he scored that overtime goal is definitely one that now I'll always look back on and able to have footage of it too. So, we had so many great memories here together. A lot of years, a lot of big wins, big nights. We had a lot of fun playing together.
Yeah. Sean, on the ice, Johnny did amazing, amazing things. In this community in particular, though, off the ice, he was also a huge presence, like you were just alluding to. Why do you think Calgary fans love him so much?
Just who he was. I don't think I've ever met someone who doesn't like Johnny. He's funny, outgoing, shy at the same time, and very giving. Just a humble superstar. He didn't want any attention. And I think that's something that a lot of people really respect.
Do you think that's why we saw such a monster tribute on the steps of the Dome here? And do you think that's why, there was an outpouring on social media, just because he was that humble superstar?
For sure. He did a lot for, obviously, the Flames on the ice, and did a lot off the ice too. So, said it before, you could go to the mall and you're probably going to see Gaudreau jerseys or shirts and people wearing it. So he's had a huge influence on this city, a huge influence in the league, and impacted many people's lives.
I know you popped out to the bench for a minute to say hi. What do you think it would have meant to Guy to be out there today with the Flames for practice?
Yeah, he was a superstar here too. So he's, it probably brings back some crazy memories for him. And I think, I know he loved coming here and watching games and being in the city, and just enjoying his time here with John, that's for sure. So I think him being out there, probably nice to reminisce and look back on and remember a lot of the special times they shared here together.
Rasmus Anderson talked about hockey being a family, and do you still feel when you're here in this rink, like you're still part of this sort of Flames family?
I do, yeah. It's here for a long time, and loved my time here, so it's always going to be one of my second homes. You come here and you feel like you're part of it, so they impacted my life, my career, the city I have a lot of love for, and like I said, no doubt that I look back on my time here and appreciate every moment of it.
Sean, I'm just wondering, like after going through something of that nature, like how does that change someone, or how does that maybe change your approach to life, like in that sense?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tough question, but I mean, I'm still going through it, and I mean, you've good days, bad days. It's, I mean, something that's not on the drawing board, so it, you just kind of take it day by day, and I mean, yeah, just, I mean, try and enjoy life as much as you can.
Sean, he's been on the ice now with the Flyers, the Blue Jackets, now the Flames. It's been great to see him smiling out on the ice. Has the ice been sort of a I don't want to say a getaway, but an oasis for you, a peaceful place for you to concentrate on, to have your mind full of something?
Yeah, I mean, I love the game, and I mean, like I said, some days are hard, some days are better than others. I mean, when we're playing, you just kind of play. So I mean, things can leave your mind for a bit. So yeah, I guess so.
There was an incredible moment at your home opener where, with you guys playing the Panthers on the opening faceoff, you and Sam Bennett looked like you had something planned. Can you just maybe pull the curtain back and tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, kind of put the puck in John's spot where he would be, and I mean, took some time, and yeah, it's a special moment. I mean, you can look back on that, obviously, video footage that you look back on it, and it's a special one for sure.
You played with Johnny for 8 seasons. Do you feel like you're playing for him now?
Yeah, I mean, you just, for sure, I think, try and carry on his legacy as much as you can, and I mean, to do what he did, I definitely can't do that. So it, try and make him proud. I mean, we wanted to be back together playing on the same team, and you just, definitely play for him.
Sean, just how has it been getting to know John's kids and your connection that you have with them?
No, it's great. I think they're great kids. John is a great dad. I idolized him as a father. They're awesome.
There you go. That is Sean Monahan, and he was fighting it, and that's why I couldn't look at the guy. I couldn't have gotten a question out. So I didn't. I was just silent and looking at the floor for the most time, most of the time, just because I don't know what it is about Sean. There's just, for me, there's always been a connection, knowing what he meant the entire time to the city, and he always, especially by the end, and how much he like literally put his body on the line for this team. There's always been something I really, really special for me about Sean Monahan and his time as a member of the Calgary Flames. And then on top of that, his connection with Johnny, and then it's hard. Like I can't sit here and tell you that, like, if Sean and I were in the same bar, like we'd sit down together. It's not like that. It's just covering the guy for, it's not to say I wouldn't, I don't know if he would, but it's just covering the guy for almost a decade and seeing him drafted in New York and seeing him grow up as a member of the Flames, and then he and Johnny basically growing up together, and mm-hmm. just knowing how tight that bond was. And then as he leaves, and then Johnny leaves, and then this happens, I have a hard time with it. I don't know if it's the friendship thing. I don't know if it's the connection to Calgary thing, but for whatever reason, like when he pointed to Johnny when he scored in that first, pointed to the sky and the banner when he scored in game one this year, or reading yours and Eric's stuff on Thursday and Friday, watching and listening to him right there, I can't do it. Like, it is, he was, and part of it is because he was fighting back tears almost the entire way.
Yeah, and that was, that part made it hard to watch. I mean, good on Sean Monahan, who has done interviews like that often this year, talking about honoring his buddy, that, you know, not just done interviews about him, but, you know, wanders down the street frequently to visit his kids. I know, you know, Meredith talked on that feature on Sportsnet on Friday about what, you know, what he continues to mean to their family. I was, you know, I'm still a third year rookie at this radio thing. So I was saying to you off air as we were coming out of the Monahan clip, you know, he said to me and Eric on Thursday in Columbus that being around Johnny's kids is the hardest part for him. And so when he was asked that question at the end, I kind of knew what was coming. You almost sort of cringe, and nothing against the question or anything like that, but I just knew already sort of how understandably broken up he was about that part. Yeah. And so that, yeah, that sort of relationship that this city and us as media have, having covered Sean Monahan for 9 seasons, you know, maybe 10 even, like he was around a long time. And so you have that relationship. We all know how serious he is. Like you don't see emotion from Sean Monahan very often. And yet to, you know, see the emotion these past few months and just sort of, quite frankly, buddy, maybe this is just me. Like, I think about being that age and I think about my best friends and like, what would it have been like to go through losing this person, let alone it being an international story and sitting next to their empty locker at work every day. And like, forget all those layers. You kind of think, well, geez, you know, here's my Johnny Gaudreau, and what would it be like to lose that person? I don't even want to imagine it. And, you know, fortunately for me, I guess I haven't had to, but man, what he's going through and the way he was wearing it today, I just think you can't help but continue to pull and root for Sean Monahan.
Yeah, no doubt. And the other guy I wanted to make sure that we heard from, I thought Rasmus Anderson was just really poignant and just on point the entire time, and as he always is. But like, I just thought he was the perfect guy to hear from as we're getting ready for Tuesday night as well.
Yeah, and just to set this up, you know, we're all sitting there watching, and you know, before practice starts, Rasmus Anderson today put his arm around Guy, and they skated. It must have been 3 laps together, like pretty slowly. The two of them skated together for a really long time, and then later when they were doing drills, whenever Rasmus Anderson's defense pairing wasn't up in a drill, he'd oftentimes go and stand next to Guy and continue the conversation. And so, you know, he was a guy, and there were many of them, but Rasmus Anderson was a guy you really noticed today going out of his way to make sure he could spend as much time with Guy as possible to make him feel as welcome as possible. And you're going to hear some powerful stuff here now that he had to say about just what it meant to have Johnny and Matthew's dad out there with them.
This was Raz from Monday inside the Flames locker room.
Razzie, there was a neat moment. I know you just faced Columbus a few days ago, but this morning was a neat moment with you and Guy. Just maybe if you could take us through that skate, what you were feeling, and I don't know, what you can share.
Yeah, I mean, the circumstances sucks, right? You know, Johnny was a dear friend, and Guy was more often not around, and so it was, as I said, the circumstances sucks, but it was good seeing him, and you know, it's hard, right? Because you try to treat it like, you know, you still want to talk about it, and you know, so we talked about life, and you know, you know, he loves talking about hockey, so that's, try to spend a lot of time talking about hockey, and I told him he's got to help us out there to get our goal scoring going, and you know, he had his own conclusion why we were not scoring, so it was great just, you know, talking to him about that, and you know, that helps him going through what he's going through, and you know, this is his therapy, right, to be around the rink and be you know, kind of, you know, it will never be as it used to be, and for him and for none of us, but you know, as I said, he still loves being around the rink, and it was great seeing him here today.
You put your arm around him. I wonder how difficult and emotional that actual moment of seeing him was.
Yeah, I mean, I saw him before we went on the ice. You know, we gave each other a big hug, and, you know, I mean, you know, at Manji's wedding this summer, they babysit my daughter, right? And me and Johnny were best friends. And so it's, yeah, you know, we have a long history, me and Guy. And as I said, it was good to see him and just, you know, hug him and seeing him around. And just for him to be on the ice, it's, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy for any one of us, and it's not definitely not easy for him. But as I said, I think this is his therapy, and I told him just come out whenever you want, and you know, you always have a spot here on the ice whenever you want, and I hope they can make it out more times this year.
Why is the ring such a therapeutic place for so many?
You know, I think everyone who plays in NHL or, you know, coaching, management, we've been around it our whole life. And, you know, it's where you have your closest friends, your second family. And it's just, you know, you shoot with the boys, you know, so excuse my language, but that's just the way it is. And, you know, you're surrounded by 23 of your closest friends, and as I said, even for management and coaches, they've been around their whole life. They don't know anything else, and you know, I was super happy when I heard he was coming, and I'm excited that he was here and that he went through it, and I hope he comes back many more times because he's always welcome, and I think no matter what team it is around the league, I think he would be welcome to come and stay with them. And, you know, I think here and, you know, with Columbus, with Monty and Boone and Goody and those guys, that's where he feels like home. And, you know, he spent a lot of time here. So it's just great seeing him here. And, as I said, I'm happy to see him. And it sucks that it was under these circumstances.
You know, when friends and family are hurting, often you just want to show support in any way you can, knowing that tomorrow night, like for the whole family, the city, the fans, you guys, the organization, everyone's kind of going to be there showing love and support. What is that? What emotions does that sort of evoke?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. And, you know, it was tough in Columbus, and, you know, there was no ceremony there. And, you know, they've done their job on that part, and they've done a really good job of it. And, you know, all credit to that organization. They've done it beautiful. And I mean, I know for me, Bax, Colsey, and, you know, seeing Monty there was tough. Seeing the, you know, the banner was tough. Seeing the 13 on their jersey every time you looked up the ice, you know, you saw 13 on their jerseys. And as I said in an interview after the game, it's the toughest game emotionally I've played. And I hope tomorrow everyone can just appreciate, first of all, what a great person he was, and then, you know, a good, great hockey player, but, you know, even a better person. And it'll be difficult for many of us. And yeah, hopefully, you know, some of the guys who haven't played with Johnny can pick us up who played with him.
That was Rasmus Anderson on Monday after Flames practice as well. And it's going to be it's going to be a pretty heavy Tuesday evening. You know, I think a lot about like Blue Jackets players. Had I been able to form a sentence, I would have asked Dean Evason this, this morning, but like the Blue Jackets are like, in a lot of ways, like, I don't want to say moved on, but as we talked about last week, when you joined us on Friday on the pregame show, like they've done their tributes and they've done their, they've hung their banner, and they've been playing with Johnny Staal occupied on game days, and they've had the 13 on their jersey, so on and so forth. And so now, 2 months later, they're going to be going through this tribute on Tuesday night as well. And so it feels strange they're going to play a game on Tuesday. Like, if Raz said that Friday's game was the toughest game mentally that he's ever played, I would imagine Tuesday's will be right there with him, or right there with it in terms of how difficult a game that is going to be to get through. Like, still like human beings are still dudes with hearts and emotions and feelings and all that type of stuff. Like, yeah, they may be better at hockey than everybody in the world, but like, still, they're still like regular dudes. And look how hard I'm having doing a radio show, barely forming a sentence. These guys have got to go play hockey at a high level. And it feels weird there's a game to play on Tuesday night too.
And you know, I think that's really what Rasmus Anderson was driving at when he said, hey, listen, Friday was tough and we didn't have a ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow night you're going to have Guy and Jane and Katie and Kristen and Meredith and I believe Johnny's two kids at center ice for a ceremonial face-off between Michael Backlund and Sean Monahan. You're going to have thousands. You're going to have thousands of people crying. I don't think that's a stretch. You're going to have thousands of people in that rink with tears in their eyes, or at least fighting it back. And then, as you said, you're going to ask them to flip a switch and go play hockey.
Yeah.
And if the Blue Jackets score a minute and 28 in, it's going to be, well, why'd you get off to such a bad start? And that's really what Rasmus Anderson was driving at. And it's not an excuse necessarily. But yeah, tomorrow's going to be, it's going to be tough for those guys who played with Johnny to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then to just sort of immediately shelf whatever they're feeling and go play a hockey game. And we're talking about guys who Rasmus Anderson played months last season on a broken foot. When he talks about it being tough to get up to play a game, it has nothing to do with pain tolerance or anything like that. This is heavy stuff. This is real life.
Yep. We're underway this hour. Steinberg and Wes along with you from our Groundworks downtown studio on this Monday edition of Flames Talk. Groundworks, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
And now the Daily Flames Roundtable on this Monday edition of Flames Talk for Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. My name is Pat Steinberg. And now the voice of the Flames, Derek Wills, joins us to complete our Daily Flames Roundtable. We, earlier this hour, heard from Sean Monahan, played his conversation with the media from earlier on this Monday. I thought that would be kind of the sole place we'd go on our Daily Flames Roundtable, because there's so many different places we can go with it. Guys, as we saw Sean Monahan back in Calgary with Columbus, and you know, I know the Flames were just there, but this one a little bit different, and he met the media and did so in the Ed Whalen Media Lounge. There's about 20 people that he was talking to on the podium, so on and so forth. All the questions were about Johnny Gaudreau. What were you guys reflecting on, or what were you guys thinking about as we heard from Sean Monahan on Monday morning?
Well, really all day I've been thinking about how unbelievable it is that Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew are gone. I mean, it still seems a little surreal to me. I don't know. Maybe I just haven't quite wrapped my head around it or come to grips with how it happened or why it happened. It almost doesn't seem real still, 3 months later. Thinking about his family, of course, and not just his immediate family. And it's, you know, awesome that that they're in town for tomorrow night's game. But his extended family, his hockey family, and how it's impacted so many people. You know, Johnny Gaudreau was so full of life on the ice and off the ice, and to have that life and his brother's life taken away way too soon, it's pretty numbing. And I can't imagine what his family and what his friends and what his former hockey family have gone through since that night on August 29th. And I think everybody's still trying to wrap their head around it, still trying to heal from it. And that's going to be a long process, but it certainly brought back a lot of memories and fond memories of the time that Sean and Johnny spent together, 8 years together here in Calgary. And on the ice, they were such a dynamic duo. Of course, most of the time they were together on this team, they were together on a line with Sean Monahan at center and Johnny Gaudreau at left wing. And there were so many memorable moments. And you know, it's funny, I asked Sean, with all of those memorable moments that they shared together, were there one or two or three that really stuck out for him? And I'm not sure the answer to this question would be what it was had what happened on August 29th not taken place. But, you know, Sean said it was that hug that they shared. Sean wasn't even playing in Game 7 against the Stars back in 2022, but Johnny was, and he scored the biggest goal a Flames player has scored, at least in my opinion, since 2004. In overtime of Game 7 to end that series and send the Flames to the second round. And you know, Sean was waiting at the end of the tunnel as Johnny came off the ice. They shared an embrace. And for me, that's the image that comes to mind first and foremost when I think about Johnny Gaudreau and his time with the Flames. And when I think about Johnny and Sean and all that they shared together on the ice and off the ice. So it was interesting that that was his response as well. But a lot to think about today. And Blake Coleman actually said something that really got me thinking as well. He had his two daughters with him at practice today, and a bunch of Flames players brought their kids to practice, which was, I think, you know, really well done by the team and by the guys. And he said, you know, just thinking about what happened to Johnny and Matthew, and it reminds you of how fragile life can be. So I think it was a great day to bring the kids to work, so to speak.
You know, guys, we all watched the feature that that Sportsnet ran during the broadcast of Friday's game with the, you know, the footage from Johnny's house and Ryan Leslie's interview with Meredith. And the thing that struck me most, and it was also so powerful, I'm sorry, but the thing that I think struck me most was she said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but she said something along the lines of, you know, her life, she felt like kind of stopped when Johnny passed, and Sean's has had to keep going. And I've been thinking about that a lot and thinking about sort of the leadership role that he's been thrust into. You know, everyone wants to know how Sean Monahan's doing. You know, everyone tuned into that candlelight vigil in Columbus to see how Sean Monahan looked, and not in a rude way, but like, I think everyone was hoping to, oh, okay, you know, it looks like he's doing okay, all things considered. You know, the Blue Jackets, when I was in Columbus, talked about it in the room. You know, we've sort of taken cues from him. If Johnny's best friend comes in and says, guys, we're gonna smile at the rink today, maybe we can all smile. You know, Dean Evason talked about how big of a part of their healing process he's been. And so everyone wants Sean Monahan to be doing as well as possible. And you know, former teammates, and I don't often reach out to guys during the season, but I texted back and forth with a few guys who played with Sean in Calgary, and it's like they can't get back to you fast enough to tell you how excited they are for how he's been playing in Columbus and just under a point per game and what it means to them and what they think it would mean to Johnny. Like, the entire hockey world was rooting for this guy. And yet I think the second part of that is that it's okay for Sean Monahan to, yeah, we're taking our cues from him as we all go through this process, but it's okay for Sean Monahan to sit there today and say, yeah, I have days that are really hard. You know, we don't talk in hockey about the hardest days and the emotions, and yet that's another sort of leadership that we saw from Sean Monahan today to say, yeah, it's, guys, this is hard. There's days I don't know how to get through it sometimes. Yeah. And so You know, you just, I mentioned this in the last segment, you know, you think about, well, what would it be like if I lost my Johnny Gaudreau, if I lost my best friend in my 20s? It's hard to imagine. And you know, you just continue to root for Sean Monahan as he goes through it.
Yeah, it's I know that, you know, pretty like getting the all three of us getting the opportunity to watch Sean and Johnny basically grow up together in their time with the organization in their 8 seasons or whatever it was playing on the same team. And, you know, you obviously, like, I go back to that night of August 29th and the first thing that really caught me when you're really starting to process the news is that thing that you talked about, Wilsey, and the hug that they shared in the tunnel after Johnny was coming off the ice after being named the first star that night. But, you know, I just think of, like, all the different ways that these two guys were interconnected, and even their exit from Calgary was interconnected in that, you know, they left the Flames the same summer and you know, different circumstances how they left, but, you know, Johnny leaving to go to Columbus is part of the reason why Sean was traded to Montreal, because they were trying to, you know, Tree was trying to backfill and had this opportunity to sign Nazem Kadri, and that's what led Sean to Montreal, then eventually to Columbus via Winnipeg. And so it was one of those things where, like, even their exits leaving the organization were tied together, and how, whether it was the purple Gatorade line and how many times have we seen images of those three, Sean, Johnny, and Elias, over the last number of months, or that first year with Yuri Hudler on that line. But guys, you know, the thing that I thought about most, and I'll give you a personal reflection, because I remember the day vividly. So, and it's another Sean Johnny connection. I remember walking in to a morning skate one day, and I was late for morning skate. I usually like to leave.
You're never late.
I know. And that's why, like, I usually like to leave my place by about 9:50, which gets me to the dome at about 10 and has me sitting in my seat 14, ready to start marking off players who are coming onto the ice with plenty of time, find out who's starting in net, so on and so forth. I was late for whatever reason that day. And so I was just, I'm late, whatever. So I'm just sauntering in, and then I hear this car rip up behind me into the D lot, the player's lot, and it's this black Range Rover, or maybe it was a red Range Rover, but it was a Range Rover. It was Sean's Range Rover, and it rips into the in, and out come, like, out running come Sean Monahan, Johnny Gaudreau, and Lance Boma. And it was a February morning, because it was a Monday morning, because the day before was the Super Bowl. And I remember Sean and Johnny looked at me sheepishly, like, oh, ran in. And for whatever reason, Lance Boma ran in too, but, like, waited like 10 seconds for me to hold the door open for me. And Lance Boma was like, would you hurry up? That's probably what he was thinking at the time. Like, I need to go get changed. Anyway, I sit down, and I think I said it to Francis and maybe to you guys, like, guys, I just saw Monahan, Gaudreau, and Boma pull up. Like, they just pulled up now. And yeah. I was like, what? And then, you know, Lance Boma came onto the ice. And
yeah, I was just going to say, I'm surprised he could run, because I watched him try to skate.
He couldn't skate that morning. Anyway,
couldn't skate. No.
He fell down immediately. Oh, no. And of course, they were all scratched that night as punishment, because they were late. And we all know what happened the day before. We can laugh about it now. Obviously, it wasn't funny at the time. Funny enough, the Flames won that game that night. But I was just thinking about that, like, throughout the entire time of Johnny being here, it was always with Sean. Every story you heard good, they were together. Every story you heard that maybe was like, oh, that's not so great, it was those two together. And anytime you saw Johnny on the street or out and about, it was always with Sean. Or anytime you saw Sean out and about, it was always with Johnny. And it's just, that's maybe why this whole thing hits as hard as it does, because you knew that, like, hockey players are friends and guys become buds and you have all these different connections. But I don't know if you necessarily see two dudes get as close as those two got and have that continue to be kind of as strong as it is years after they're no longer playing on the same team. So I was thinking about all those things as I was looking at the floor, not being able to watch Sean Monahan talk today. I was thinking about a lot of those things as I was listening to him speak, because those two guys were for, you know, 8 straight years attached at the hip here. And even still, here we are sitting here on December 2nd, a little more than 3 months after Johnny's passing, and still very much attached at the hip, joint at the hip.
Yeah, I thought Sean Monahan handled a difficult day today, and he'll have another difficult day tomorrow, and there's a lot of difficult days ahead for him and for so many who were touched by Johnny Gaudreau. But I thought he handled it like a real pro, and I wasn't sure he'd be able to get through that without breaking down, because remember, I think we've all been pulling for Sean Monahan for a long time because of all the injuries he's had to battle through, because of how it looked like his career might be over, thanks in large part to those injuries, and kind of shuffled around a little bit. All just, I think, hoping to see him healthy again. And you know, he's been healthy and he's been productive, which has been great to see. And I know we are all excited to see him and Johnny Gaudreau reunited as members of the Blue Jackets this season. So, you know, think about what happened, and it would be tragic no matter what. But then you start to pile on strange circumstances, like the fact that it was not just Johnny or Matthew, but that it was both Johnny and Matthew who were killed in that horrible accident. And you know, the alleged drunk driver that was at the wheel that led to their deaths, to it being on the eve of their sister's wedding. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And then, you know, kind of fast forward, and I think about Sean and how excited he must have been to be playing on the same team and maybe the same line as Johnny again. And, you know, they were supposed to sit beside each other in the Blue Jackets dressing room. They were supposed to live beside each other. The poor guy, and so many, we're talking about Sean Monahan here, the poor guy has gone through so much. So I think we've all been pulling for him for a long time, and will be for a long time to come. And, you know, he's a good guy, and so many memories flood back into my brain about the time that him and Johnny Gaudreau spent together on the ice and off the ice. Even, you know, something as stupid as, I remember when Bob Hartley was the head coach and used to call them Johnny and Monty in his French accent. You know, weird memories like that kind of flood back into my brain. But they were magical together on the ice, great friends together off the ice. And tomorrow's going to be hard for Sean and for a lot of people. But it's a night, I think, that everybody wants to, even though there are going to be tears, there's no doubt about it. You know, maybe 20,000 people with watery eyes inside of Scotiabank Saddledome tomorrow night. I think it's important to everybody that the two teams and the fans pay tribute to Johnny Gaudreau. And, you know, I'll wrap up my portion of this conversation by saying, I asked Sean today, you know, you played with Johnny for 8 years. Do you play for him now? And he said yes. And that kind of hit me too.
One of the things we chatted about when I was in Columbus and having a chat with Sean Monahan was how excited he was not only to sign in Columbus to play with Johnny, but he told a really cute story about how excited Johnny was. And he said, you know, randomly throughout the summer, he'd get FaceTimes from Johnny as Johnny worked out. And Sean joked that didn't happen that often. So you knew, like, if he was in the gym working out and wanted, you know, to FaceTime me so I could see how much he was lifting, you knew he was fired up for the season. And you know, to go from that to now what Sean Monahan is carrying with him, and to, you know, and you just put it well, Willsy, the fact that he wants to carry on Johnny's legacy, that he wants to make his buddy proud. I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he's done already this season. And I just know, like, there is not a single person in the hockey world, I don't care what team you cheer for, that doesn't want to see Sean Monahan have success because of all that he's been through.
Yep. Okay, gents, enjoy the rest of your Monday, Willsy. We'll get back to a little more hockey on the round table on Tuesday's edition at the Dome, but thought it'd be apropos to spend This hour, yeah. Talking about that and specifically with Sean back here, you know, having him and Johnny being the focus of this hour, I think was pretty apropos. We'll see you at the Dome on Tuesday morning. I'll be there. I hope to leave my place around 9:50 and be there before all of y'all tomorrow. We'll see you Tuesday.
We'll look for you in seat 14. And just before I go, guys, in honor of Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau, the Flames Foundation is doing a 60-40. And proceeds will be directed to Mothers Against Drunk Driving Canada and Kidsport Calgary. And just talking about, you know, Sean and Johnny and how much they did for the community during their time in Calgary, I think it would mean a lot to them and to their families and to everybody involved if we raised a lot of money through that 60-40. So get your tickets. You can get them online. You can get them at the Dome tomorrow, but get your tickets for that.
Thank you, Wellesley. We'll see you Tuesday.
Okay, guys, thank you.
He's Derek Wills. He's Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll start to wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Shan and Cam, our producers this hour, and the Daily Flames Roundtable was brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Country Hills. The simpler way to sell your vehicle is with their expertise. Visit Mercedes-Benz Country Hills just minutes from the airport.